Welcome to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I'm your host, writer, and comedian, Emily Winter. If you like this pod, please rate and review it wherever you get your pods so more people can find it and spread the word. Also, if you like things, I don't know, that are funny, sometimes scary, sometimes just true, I'm doing a shameless plug for my book here. It's called One Day Smarter. It's out now. It is a funny but real trivia book. I do have a chapter called Morbid Facts for Know-It-All Goths in there to appeal to my spooky fellow spooky people. So grab One Day Smarter. It will make a great gift book. It's fall. I feel like a very academic-y time. So learn a fact. Put it on the back of your toilet. Thank you so much. Okay, I hope you enjoy this episode. Today on the podcast, I'm super excited to have comedic storyteller Adrian Bain. Adrian, thank you so much for doing the pod.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here. I have recently gotten like so into like scary audio storytelling, and I just feel very weirdly lucky that I have one to share of my own.
Oh my gosh. And I love it so much. And your story takes place during the pandemic, which I am so fascinated by. And I feel like there's going to be more stories coming out because we were all trapped in these little places and we couldn't escape. And we were all feeling such extreme feelings that I just feel like the whole situation is ripe for some paranormal stuff. And yours is amazing. And I'm so excited. Yeah. Currently in Brooklyn, but that's not where your story takes place, right?
Not where my story takes place.
Okay. Well, kick it off.
Yes. So my story does start in Brooklyn. And it was like December 2019, January 2020. I meet this guy at a storytelling event and we hit it off so insanely well. And I'm like, he checks all of the boxes. Everything is like, it's better than I could have ever anticipated, which I am like very suspect jaded. Like the perfect person isn't out there. There's gonna be a red flag. Like, when is it gonna happen? He's like he's an amazing listener. He's so emotionally in tune.
Is he also a storyteller?
Also a storyteller. He has his own podcast called Family Ghosts, which is not paranormal, but it is emotionally harrowing and about family issues. And so he's also like wild. He's so funny. And like, we make each other laugh and our chemistry was very good. And I was like, good God, like is this it? Like, is this the guy? And
you're waiting to remember find out if he has, like, a wife and family in Ohio or something.
Right. No, yeah. Totally. So it's January 2020. And I distinctly remember lying in bed with him. And I have this thought of like, I just really want so much time with him. And like, just asking the universe, like, please give me a lot of time with him. And I remember thinking like, it is so good. Like, this feels so different. I wish we were like 6 months into the future so I could suggest us moving in together. Cause like, I freaking want it. I want it, but I want to, don't, no need to rush. Like,
right. You can't ask month one, even if you feel it. Yeah,
exactly. Like, I'm not that kind of person, but I was really feeling those feelings. And I was like, get off the ledge, like, just take it slow. You know, there's always the early honeymoon phase when you're like, you know, so, right. So I was like, oh, I wish it was June and I could propose that like we move in together. Cause he lived alone. I'd a bunch of roommates. And I remember thinking, but there is nothing in the universe that would happen that would force us to move in together early. And then March 2020, all of my dreams came true.
Wait, are you saying you caused the pandemic? Is this what?
I mean, I have a, you know, background in chemistry. No, I'm just kidding. I know nothing of that stuff. I've known nothing of this stuff. So, right. So Sam lives alone. I lived with five roommates and right. I loved all of my roommates. Everyone like gasps when I say that. I truly loved all of them. We had a huge, beautiful like art space, but I knew, and it was all ladies, but I was like, if there are five women living in an apartment in Brooklyn, like everyone is going to be using their vibrators at like some or like at the same time. Like, we can't have the power go out on top of a global pandemic. Like, I cannot do this. So I messaged Sam and I'm like, I'm going to do the math for you. I'm moving in. And he was like, this is great. I would love that. Would love the company. And so we spend like a day or two in his apartment, and I get a call from my dad like the day before the lockdown, and my parents, my whole family is in upstate New York. Okay. And my dad calls me in tears. I have never heard my father sound like this before. And he is like, get out of Brooklyn. Like, Italy is on fire. Like, everyone is dying in Italy. New York is going to be the next thing. And my father is one to catastrophize. So I was like, Dad, it's going to be okay. But in this instance, he, you know, was right. He was like, get out of Brooklyn, but you can't stay with us. And I was like, cool. Thanks, Dad. Really and appreciate
why
that.
Why? Because their house is full, or he just doesn't.
Because he's like, I don't want the contagion to come into my house.
Oh my God. Okay. So he's like, I care about you almost all the way. Yeah.
Almost all the way. You know, he's older. He's not like that. He's in his like mid 60s. So it's like, I can understand there's like a health thing there. So, and you know, Brooklyn really was like the epicenter at that time. So it's like March 16th. And so Sam and I are in our apartment, and I was like, okay, family, please do like a shout out to anyone who has a tree house or a chicken coop or an art studio with electricity and a bed. Like, get, help us get out. Sam has a car. So, you know, just help us get out.
Also, like, I think this is a good idea. Let's leave.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We were definitely like, is this okay? But we were like, it is where my family is in relation to New York City is we are only like 2.5 hours north on the Taconic. So like, it's just, we just kept thinking of like, it's just a 2-hour drive and we can drive back. Like, yeah. There's no, people were not doing like, you could leave the city if you needed to. We thought like people weren't going to be allowed to leave the city, but you could. So my youngest sister, Jessica, she gets the win and she's like, okay, my boyfriend's family lives on a sheep farm. Like, I'm from the country. So I was like, this is not crazy to me.
Right.
I lived like next to an alpaca farm as a kid.
Oh my God. So how charming. I love it.
It is super darling. Like, when people hear where I'm from, they're like, oh, you make so much more sense now. Right. So Jess is like, my boyfriend's parents have a little cabin on their sheep farm. It's a completely separate house. Right. And it's fully equipped, because their grandmother used to live there and she lived there until she died. And I was like, cool. I'll be 10 minutes away from like my mom and my sisters and my dad. Mm-hmm. I'll bring this, you know, and I was like, I'm not leaving Sam, like, and he's got the car. So I was like, we packed up the car with audio equipment and garbanzo beans and just booked it up the Taconic.
Is that what you have been saving in your pantry?
Truly, we went to this like Wegmans that had just opened up in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and it was so picked through with the exception of this pyramid, this massive, like several layered pyramid of garbanzo beans. And we were like, I guess we'll just eat hummus for like the next 2 weeks. Like, if that's the only thing.
90 years old and somebody's going to take out a can of chickpeas and you're going to be like, no, it's PTSD.
I know. It's like, I can never look at a chickpea again. So we book it upstate. It's probably like March 20th by now. And we drive up, it's like midnight on a Friday, and we say hello. So my sister Jess is there to meet us, and it will call them Eddie and Anneman because it's their real names. And I think they like get a kick out of the story. So Eddie and Anneman, who are my sister's boyfriend's parents, the Allens, they're also there and they're like, hello, stay away from us, but like have at the cabin. And the cabin is probably like 100 feet away from the house.
Okay.
And then we're like on this little hill and there's like horses and sheep and it's like very darling. But I am so like, what is happening to the world right now
right.
that we get in and I just kind of like wave, like, thank you so much. And they're like, please stay so far away from us. You are covered in COVID maybe. And so we're like, cool, cool, cool. Thank you so much. We'll chat in 2 weeks. So we get into the house and I quickly realized that it was very much built for one person.
Okay.
Because we open the doors and there's like a fireplace and a couch area. There's like a little piano room. There's a kitchen and a bedroom, a kitchen, dining area, and a bedroom, but there's no doors to anything. Mm. There's not even a door between like the bedroom and the kitchen, not even like those fake beads from the 90s to give some illusion of privacy.
Yeah.
There is a door in the bathroom.
Thank God.
Thank God. So I was like, okay, this is like definitely built for one person, but like whatever. And anyone who is, you know, anyone who's been to upstate New York or anywhere like very rural, it gets so quiet, right? Like
you can hear the silence and it's, yeah. I love it, but it's wild.
It's so, especially in comparison to New York, like noise pollution capital. It is like, if I was in the bedroom and Sam was in like by the couch area, I could hear his heartbeat. Like that's how quiet
this area is. Yeah.
So we are like, okay, this is weird, but you know, it's got a stove. It's got a really nice bathroom. It's got a very comfortable bed. It's got all the things we need. And in our minds, we're like, we're only going to be here for 2 weeks. So I'm like exhausted. I'm going to go to bed now. And so I go to bed in this doorless bedroom and I have this, Sam stays up later because he's like more of a night owl. And I have this incredibly vivid dream that I am in the cabin that I am actually physically in. Only all of the furniture is rearranged.
Okay.
And I'm sitting on the couch in the kitchen and Sam is next to me. And then all of a sudden this invisible force pushes the couch through the entire cabin and moves it to where the couch actually is in real life. And then I watch.
Did it feel like ominous when you were getting pushed around? Was it like scary and fast or was it like?
It was a great question. It was a very like normal pace.
Okay.
It felt like an actual human body was just like pushing it. Like okay. That. Great question. And then there's like this weird giant Jenga sculpture and it's being taken apart by these like invisible hands and all these pieces are being moved around. And I just had this like lucid moment where I was like, I think that there is a presence here, but it's benevolent. And I wake up and I know myself that if I am in a new spot and I'm stressed or I'm stressed out, I have like nightmares. Like okay. That's just 101 Adrienne Bain. And I was like, it was probably just that, but my family does have like a little bit of a history of talking to the dead through dreams.
Talk about that more.
It's not like Long Island Medium, but it's like my grandfather has visited my mom and visited my uncle. So like that kind of a few other family members, but like that kind of stuff. I was like weird, but I'm also not going to tell this guy that I've only been dating for 3 months. After only being here for, I don't want him to think I already got a screw loose. Like right. I want to keep him. Yeah. I want him to stay. So I don't say anything. And we go throughout the day as if it's totally normal. And when the next night, when we're getting ready for bed, Sam and I are sitting on the bed and he's like, I gotta tell you something. Uh-oh. And I was like, oh no, you're going to leave. You don't want to be here anymore. You don't want to be here. He has keys. He's got the car. He can just go whenever he wants.
So you thought you were getting dumped.
I did a little bit. I was like, happening again. And he was like, I feel kind of weird. And I was like, oh no, you got COVID. Like, oh shit.
So you're like, he's not dumping me, but no, he's got COVID. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Cause it was still so like, what is this virus? Like, what is this thing?
Right.
But I was like, honestly, if he did get COVID, I would have been like relieved because then it's like, you're staying, you have to stay. And then I get to like take care of you in the weird, you know, like maternal, whatever.
Yeah.
So he's like, When you were asleep last night, I was starting to go to sleep and I heard a singular ding, like ding, coming from like the living room, like couch area. And it came out of nowhere. It wasn't a cell phone. It wasn't a microwave. It wasn't a wind chime. And it was definitely coming from inside the house. And I was like, okay, all right. Crazy meets crazy, you know? So I tell him my dream. And when I am done telling him my dream, I hear this together. We hear this long singular ding.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Emily coming from the couch area.
Oh no.
And it's not a wind chime. It's not a microwave. It's not a cell phone. It's definitely coming from inside the house. What?
Did you like go look for a bell or something?
Oh, okay. We'll get there.
Okay.
So I have never wanted a door like more in my life, which I know by like ghost logic makes no sense because a ghost can just like go through any wall or whatever. But I was like, good God, what is happening? I just like grab Sam and we have like a very restless night of sleep. And a few days go by and nothing really happens.
Okay.
And then I think it's like the next Saturday. It's still, you know, such a nerve-wracking week. I haven't really seen any of my family because they're like, get away from us. You're covered in, you know. And so it's just Sam and I. And so that Saturday morning, we're like, let's turn off our phones. Let's like pretend that we are, because it was very stark to be in an incredibly quiet and beautiful space and little peace on the planet and know that like it was so bad in our home, you know, like in Brooklyn and other cities like around the world. It was really like, it was a real jarring experience for our brains to kind of understand the full reality of what was happening when we couldn't like directly experience it, you know.
So but I'm to enjoy very, it when you're like, this is the apocalypse. Like, right. I mean, it sounds insane to say now, but like there were weeks there where I thought it was the end of the world.
Yeah. Yes. And that's what the news was telling us is that like, we're done. We're all toasted. So we're like, let's turn off our phones. Let's just have a very romantic Saturday morning. And, you know, like Sam and our relationship had been like as playful and lighthearted as you could get. We were living together really, really well. And so I make pancakes and bacon. He makes coffee. And we have this moment where we're talking about, you know, the obvious. And I was like, you know, hon, I truly wouldn't want to ride this out with anyone else but you. And he looks at me and he's like, Adrian, I love you. We say our first I love yous. I kiss him so hard that it's like he just came back from war. Like, oh. It was like such a moment where I was like, oh my God. Like, I want to like squeeze him. So I'm like sitting on his lap. We're like kissing and we're like looking lovingly into each other's eyes. And I'm like, do you need any coffee, any more bacon, hun? And I get up and I go reheat my coffee and I put my coffee cup into the microwave and I set it for 1 minute and the microwave starts making very normal microwave sounds. Mm-hmm. And then the sound of like two angry radio signals like kick in, like another sound happens on top of regular microphone sounds. And it sounds like two radio signals are like crossing each other and they're like angry and they're creating all this static. It sounds like the audio equivalent of like when in Ghostbusters, Sigourney Weaver opens up the refrigerator and there's like Zorg, the monster in like another dimension. And it's the audio equivalent of that. And so regular microwave sounds stop. Zorg sounds continue to escalate and then like by the time they stop, I've actually stepped all the way back and I'm on Sam's lap, like clutching him. Cause I'm like
staring at this microwave.
Yes, we are both like completely transfixed. And I was like, what is happening? And I was like, first I can't drink this coffee because it's going to bring me into the twilight zone. So I'm like, now I don't have any more like ways to like energy to process this. And then I was like, oh, this presence it's moving during the daytime. Like this is, ooh. So I turned to Sam and I was like, look, I can handle a haunting. I can grit through a global pandemic. I can't do both at once. I'm not going to do both at once. I can't do this. So we do what I think only put me through so much. I do what I think anyone would do in that situation. And we had a Zoom call with a medium.
Oh my gosh. Where did you find your medium?
So it was actually a total coincidence. Sam and I had planned on like March 26th to go down to Ditmas Park and hang out with this medium who was practicing. So do you know what Lilydale is?
No.
Oh, okay. Next time you're in New York and then have a car and can drive to like further upstate New York. Lilydale is a town of mediums that is so perfectly placed on Lake Erie. You're like, come on, man. Like that is too good.
I'm writing this down right now.
Exactly. So she is. So the Lilydale is only open from like May to September to regular folk. So what you can do is you can go and during those times, and you can go to like all of these different mediums and you can have like, I'm not totally sure because I haven't been there. But from my understanding, you can get your tarot read, you can communicate with a ghost from the other side. So we already had this lined up. And so Sam, during his medium call, he asks, hold on, excuse me. He asks her like,
what? This woman was in Lilydale.
She was supposed to be in Brooklyn. I think she was in Lilydale at the time. I don't think she came out. Okay, but she was supposed to come to Brooklyn and like be in this old Victorian house in Ditmas Park and do like a whole day of medium training people like us. So Sam and I signed up for like a half an hour thing. And it was supposed to be like on Saturday, the 25th. Of March, but she's like, we can do it over Zoom. And I was like, does that still work? And she's like, yes. So I was like, okay. So Sam asks, what do you do if you feel like there is a presence in the place that you're living? And she says, oh, it's super easy. And we were like, cool, cool, cool. And she's like, you say a very simple sentence. If you know their name, even better. But you say no physical phenomena. Okay. So, you know, it's all about setting energetic boundaries.
Okay.
And so I text my sister, Jessica, and I'm like, yo, that grandma who died, I wasn't totally sure, like, if it was this grandma, but I was like, what was her name? And like, what was her vibe? And her name was Joy. And I was like, okay. So I would wake up. We end the call with the Zoom medium. And so I wake up every morning. I wake up, I make coffee. I am taking a shower. I go for a walk. I come back. I am constantly muttering to myself, hi, Joy. Hi, Joy. No physical phenomena. Hi, Joy. Good morning. No physical phenomena. Hi, Joy. We're back. No physical phenomena. Like I'm just...
It's just part of you're like getting home, putting the keys down.
Exactly. Taking my shoes off, no physical phenomena, putting the keys in the right place, no physical phenomena. Like just become so like on repeat after a certain point.
Was Sam doing it too?
Sam, I don't know, but I was definitely like the verbal one.
Yeah.
He might have been saying it to himself, but I was very much like saying it. And the noises stopped.
Wow.
Everything microwave was totally cool and normal after that. And I do want to say with the microwave, like I had been using the microwave all week and it never did anything like that. And so
you started mooching and talking about your love and then it was crazy.
Joy got jealous. Joy was like, what are you doing? So no physical phenomena. And during this time, like you know, the 2 weeks that we thought we were going to be there bleed into 1 month, 2 months, however many months. And now it's like May. And we've been hanging out with my family outside. My family like loves Sam so much, like to the point where now if anything happens, they're like, we're keeping Sam. Like he's the one we choose. And I'm like, I don't really blame you. Like he is truly one of the best hearted humans I know. And so, you know, he and I are trying to make the best out of this whole situation. And we're going on these walks and we're falling like deeper and deeper in love. And a few months go by and my youngest sister, Jess, comes over. She's the one who got us here in the first place. And like, she's visiting her boyfriend. She comes over to say hey to us. And for whatever reason, she's like, I think I want to take a nap. And I was like, oh, well, you can sleep on the couch. And she was like, I'm not going to sleep on the couch. And I was like, Jess, it's a fine couch. It's a perfectly fine couch. What? Why don't you want to sleep on the couch? And she's like, because Joy died on the couch. And my head, I did like an exorcism twist. Like my head completely snapped around.
Oh, no.
And I look at Sam and I was like, we weren't crazy. Like, we definitely had these moments where we were like, we're fucking losing it. But it was weirdly validating. What are you going to ask?
Well, and so it's like the couch is where the dings came from and in your head, what was getting pushed around when
exactly.
You had your first dream.
Exactly.
So all centered around the couch. That's amazing.
All centered around the couch was where she died. And I was like, good God, Jessica, that would have been great information to have. That would have been great information to have.
Yes.
But in typical sister fashion, she like withheld it from me because I did like text her at a certain point and was like, I think that Joy is like
still here
visiting us. This was before the no physical phenomena thing. And Jess, and I was like, but don't tell Eddie and Anneman because like, I don't want them to think that we're losing it. And they're like, LOL. I told them, and Joy would totally haunt people. Like they're not surprised by it. Apparently she was like, ironically, kind of a joyless person. Like she smoked a pack of cigarettes a day. Like
whoa.
She preferred one of her grandsons over the other. Like I once texted Jess, I was like, her boyfriend's name is Oliver and his older brother is Ian. I once texted Jess. I was like, what is Joy like? Like, could I bring flowers or whatever? And she just responds, Joy liked Ian, not Oliver. That's it. And I was like, oh my God.
So now the microwave sounds make more sense because they were like, that was negative response to you guys falling in love.
I know.
Feels very Joy.
It feels so Joy. And so, but the way that I like to end it is that I think no physical phenomena or not, like Sam and I did actually fill that place with a lot of joy. And I don't think she could have gotten very far with haunting us, whether or not we had the Zoom call. So This is the only like one thing that I don't totally know where to place, but like sometime around the same time, I was like, this cabin was filled with like all of this stuff that they hadn't necessarily like gotten rid of yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going through a cabinet and I found this dinner bell. It was like dusty in the back of a cabinet and I ring it. And Sam is like, I'm in the kitchen, Sam's in the living room. And he comes out and I'm holding it. And he's like, that's the sound. And I was like, that's the fucking sound. So there was a dinner bell and I don't understand how she made it ring. It definitely sounded like it was coming from the couch area, but it was like the exact same sound. And we're like, Joy.
Was she like a cook or something? Was she a good cook or was she?
I don't know. I think the cigarettes probably killed all of her taste buds.
Oh my God.
So I have no idea. And why do you have a dinner bell? Like it's.
Yeah. What year is it? Yeah.
You know, she moved there in like the 90s. Like, so it's just super, super weird. And then we stayed really there for.
She kept. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
And well, we stayed there until September. We stayed there for 6 full months.
Wow. Yeah. And then can I ask, are you guys still together?
We are still together. We are very much still together. I know it's very exciting. It's
a good story and a love story.
It's a good story and a love story. I will say that like I could, if anything happens, I could never date for love again. Like Sam has emotionally ruined me and If anything did happen, I would just marry for yacht money. It's like, I can't fall in love again. Like
you just think like you've put it all on the table with this one. So like
all on the table.
Nothing left.
There's nothing left. Yeah. I would just need a vacant hole to be filled with like Gucci bags. Truly.
Oh my God. Well, congratulations on your relationship. That's been going so strong. That is so sweet.
Truly.
And also, like they always say, good energy attracts good things and bad energy. Yeah. Like ghosts can't really, if their intentions are negative, they can't really survive. There's so much good energy. And it sounds like you just brought that to their little cabin.
Yeah. I do wish that like part of me, thinking of like Eddie and Anneman, who we did get to know very well. And like, we had these little, part of me was like, couldn't you have guys have like done a light exorcism before we came? Like a real quick, like get a cleaning lady, get the plumber, get the priest, you know, just like a quick saging. But I loved living there for the weird, I do get like nostalgic for it, for like the weird time that it was, but no, it was as darling as it can be of a ghost story.
When you guys left, did you say bye to Joy?
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
I wonder if she misses you a little bit.
Maybe. I think that they started renting it out to like an Airbnb. And honestly, I feel like they should say the ghost part on the like listing, because like some people from the city would be like, I'll pay extra for a ghost. Like,
I absolutely would.
Upstate New York is incredibly haunted. Like there's this one really, really rare book that has like all of the hauntings in just like Old Chatham alone, which is the hamlet that I am from. And it's not even big enough to be called a village. It's a hamlet. There's less than 100 people there. I was going to
ask what an actual hamlet is besides the character.
It's less than, I know. I think that too. It has to have less than 100 people and there's no center place of worship.
Whoa. Okay.
So yeah, it's muy pequeño.
What is the book? How do people find out about, I mean, I love upstate. I got married up there. So fun.
Where did you get married?
In Big Indian, unfortunately named. In the Catskills.
Very cool. It's such a beautiful area. It's called like, I will try to find it and send it to you. But it's like one of the books from the library where like you can't take it out because they're just like, It's old and you can only look at it here. But I think my family has a copy of it. But it's good.
If you figure it out, let me know. And listeners, I will put it in the show notes, which I am getting better at using now that I've switched to Transistor from Podomatic, which everything was a nightmare over there. Wow. Cool. This is an amazing story. So you were saying that like your family kind of has had these predictive dreams. Visits. Has that ever happened to you?
Just with Joy. I'm really lucky that the family that I like know that I've had more time with is still alive. But my uncle had a premonition that my grandfather was going to die. And he, like, they hadn't spoken to each other in 10 years. And he drove from rural Pennsylvania. He just like woke up in the middle of the night, drove to rural Pennsylvania over like 6 hours and got there on the day that my grandfather died. And like,
whoa.
And then afterwards, my mom said that she had a dream where my grandfather, after he died, my grandfather was like sitting on the bed and just told her like, it's all going to work out. Like, it's all going to be okay. Which I don't think he was like a very comforting person in real life.
Right.
So I don't know how much of that was just my mom's psyche being like, you need to hear this, whether or not it's real. So I don't know.
Wow. Oh, I love that. Wow. So there's something already going on. Like, you've got a little special power.
A little bit.
And then combine that with Joy and you have an amazing story.
Exactly. I'm three steps away from becoming like, if podcasting doesn't work out, I think I could do mediumship in Lilydale. I think that would be like a way chiller. Life and Existence. You should check it out because it is like, it is really cool.
Listeners, also, I will also include some Lilydale info in the show notes because I'm pretty into this now.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Oh my God. And it sounds like a place I want to go spend a week. All right. Wow. This was awesome. Adrian, thank you so much for doing the podcast. Where can people find you? All over the internet, all over the world. Yes.
Yeah. And I, once upon a time I was all over the world. I have a podcast of my own called Strangers Abroad, and it is a narrative travel podcast. And I'm currently in production with my third season, and I'm doing a true story about two female journalists who are commissioned to race around the world in under 80 days in 1889. And they both live to tell the tale. And, so that is coming out, and I'm very excited about that. I have thought, so my partner has this show, Family Ghosts, which he has put on hiatus, but I personally think that we should put our two shows together and then like we go to scary places around the world.
Oh but my gosh.
We met during the pandemic, so we haven't really been able to do like a lot of travel, but we will probably go to Mexico in the wintertime, and there is a town of warlocks there. In Veracruz.
Oh, interesting.
Mexico is hella witchy. Okay, and it's so awesome. I'll try to find that name.
Yes. That is awesome. And I want to hear about what happens.
We'll come back to you. We'll come back to you on that one.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for doing the podcast. Oh, do you have any social media that you want to plug?
Yeah, sure. So if you want to follow me at Strangers Abroad podcast, like rate and review on iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. And then I honestly, like, I feel like my social media has been like pretty quiet recently, but you can find me at Adrian Behn, B-E-H-N. But check out my previous seasons, type in my name. You can find other stories I've done on YouTube, and that's kind of it.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thanks for having me. This was a blast.
And thank you for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. If you want to find me, talk to me, tell me your ghost story, be on the podcast, reach out at Emily MC Winter. That's Emily McWinter on Instagram or Twitter. Buy my book, One Day Smarter. Rate and review. You got homework, people. Have a great week. Okay, goodbye.